Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout this season of Lent, we have been meditating on a theme of returning. Going all the way back to Ash Wednesday in February, we considered God's words through the prophet Joel. Return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He relents from sending evil. In that passage, God is not angrily yelling at his kids, "Get back over here!" Rather, he's pleading with them to come home after they've been gone far too long. He is the Father in Jesus' famous story, watching and waiting for his wayward son to return home. And when the son does return, from his perspective, out of desperation, from the father's perspective as a gift of grace, well, the father's ready. The table is prepared, and a feast ensues. Today, God's word invites us to return to the table. And let's be clear, this is not just any table. This is the table of the Lord. The world's true King invites you to dine with him tonight. And Jesus invites you to a table that has a history. Perhaps you have such a table in your own family, a table that maybe came from a previous generation, or a table that has been in your own immediate family long enough that you have built up memories around that table. When I go back to my parents' house and sit at the kitchen table, I remember all sorts of meals with my family, with my siblings growing up. I remember grilled chicken and burgers. I remember birthday cakes. I remember the snacks, the cookies at Christmas time. That table has a history. As you might expect, Jesus' table has an even deeper history. When his disciples and he are gathered in Mark chapter 14, they are gathered at a table filled with memories. In fact, memories that go back far longer than those disciples sitting there at the table. They go back generations, 1,400 years. For 1,400 years earlier, they had been slaves in Egypt. They had endured great pain and tragedy. And in their distress, they cried out to God. God heard the cry of his people and sent Moses to lead them out to freedom. God worked 10 plagues to demonstrate his power over the Egyptians and their false gods. And of course, the last plague was the fiercest and worst of them all. It's the plague upon the firstborn son. But Israel would be spared, each family sacrificing a lamb as a substitute. The blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their house would cover them, and the destroying angel would pass over their house and not bring the destruction intended. The next morning, they would go forth as free people, Pharaoh commanding them to leave. This event, the Passover, the freedom celebration, the deliverance that God worked by means of a substitute sacrifice, the lamb in the place of the people, is what God's people gathered to celebrate in their homes year after year after year. This was the occasion for which Jesus and his disciples were gathered around the table. But tonight, something new was going to happen. Something new birthed out of the old. And that new event would infuse the celebration with new meaning. It would not be without struggle. In fact, one might say that struggle is central to the meaning of the meal. In the original Passover, there was an oppressive power to be overcome, Pharaoh and the Egyptian taskmasters. Centuries later, in the fullness of time, God would send forth a new deliverer, one greater than Moses. But this deliverer would not be positioning himself against merely human powers. Much to the surprise of some of his followers, his main target was not the Romans. Instead, he came to deliver his people from evil that is much greater, that hits far closer to home than we'd like to admit. That evil permeated the very room where Jesus gathered with his disciples, with his closest friends. He speaks to it clearly in Mark chapter 14 when he says, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Treachery lives in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Pride, arrogance lives in the heart of Peter. Cowardice lives in the hearts of them all, which makes their room similar to ours in many ways. We too have been called to follow closely after Jesus. We too would like to believe that we would rather die than deny Jesus. And yet we find our hearts preoccupied with the things that so often take our eyes off of Jesus. Our trust in God is often shallow. Our love for the people and the things that God loves is often room temperature at best. In our daily lives, at home, at work, at school, we probably demonstrate our need for Jesus' forgiveness at least as much as we demonstrate the love of God in Jesus for other people. Israel had been delivered from the Egyptians by means of the first Passover, but their attitudes and their actions in the wilderness and in the generations to come would show that they still desperately needed to be rescued. Gathered here tonight, preparing to return to this table, we must confess that we too need to be rescued. Rescued from the evil around us, but just as much, maybe even more so, rescued from the evil that lives inside of us. Thanks be to God. Jesus is just the kind of rescuer we need. He comes to deliver broken, sinful people like you and me. It's going to cost him. 1,400 years earlier, it was an unblemished lamb slaughtered at twilight in place of the firstborn. Now, that picture would find its fulfillment as Jesus would finish his mission and become our substitute sacrifice. One perfect lamb standing in the place of us all. His body will be broken. His blood will be shed. And the judgment of God for sin, the judgment that we deserve, will pass over us forever. And in anticipation of this new deliverance, our Savior gives us a new meal. He speaks to his disciples and to his church in all generations a new word from this meal. Take and eat. This is my body. Drink of this cup. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for many. The one who does not lie binds himself to bread and wine as surely as he bound himself to human flesh in the womb of his mother Mary. He invites us to come, to receive him and to participate in the fruits of his suffering and death so that we might know that forgiveness is ours. In a million years, we would never deserve to come to a table like this, the table of the King. But Jesus has made it abundantly clear that this table has nothing to do with deserving and everything to do with grace. He comes to give you a gift tonight, a gift to help you, a gift to save you. It's the gift of himself, his perfect track record, his death, his resurrection, his position of honor given and applied to you. As surely as you eat this bread and drink from this cup. So return to the table tonight. Join the disciples gathered in that upper room. Join men and women from every generation since in receiving a gift that is worth more than anything that you could find on this earth. Eat and drink. And as you do, remember and rejoice in the work God has done to deliver you in his Son, to deliver you from sin, from death, from hell, from all that would seek to separate you from his love and from his life. And then, having received that gift, return tomorrow to witness Jesus complete the great act of deliverance that changes everything forever. In the name of Jesus, the unblemished Lamb of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always in Christ Jesus, the Lamb. Amen.